I thank the Lord that in the past few days has arranged for us the North America Chinese speaking perfecting training. Although I myself am not there physically, but I have heard from the brothers many encouraging reports. Therefore, I worship the Lord for this, and we thank the Lord's grace and mercy. This morning, we come to the last session. I have much feeling, and I feel that there are quite a number of brothers and sisters online, and there are many who are not in the training registered, but many saints have joined this open session. Because of this and the burden within me, I feel that I do not need to speak anything particular about this series. That is the application of the interpretation of New Jerusalem to the Seeking Believers, Series 5, Message 5. I will not speak from it, but at most, I will read the short outline written by our brother Lee based upon this book and for this training. But rather, I would like to speak Message 5, that is the last message of the series. Our brother Lee, he has several words of concluding. It says it's a concluding note. I don't know if the AV brothers can put the concluding note here. No, tell them no. Tell them. Go and tell them. It's not this. They, if not, they can. They will do that later. But last night, I have some consideration of the burden of the New Jerusalem because I did not have much time. In brief, in a short time, I wrote down 10 points concerning this. Maybe let us go to the 10 points afterwards. If the brothers can put in the concluding note, I can also read with the brothers this concluding note. But let us come to the 10 points first. The New Jerusalem, just as we have seen, the hymn, it's what Brother Lee wrote in 1994, what miracle, what mystery. It was written during the Chinese-speaking New Year's conference. He released the highest point, that is God becoming man, and that man may become God in life and nature. But it is not in the Godhead, but in life and nature. And in its expression, we have become God. In other words, we, the Christians, are God's species. Ever since the day we were regenerated, the process and consummated triune God himself, he has become the all-inclusive, life-giving spirit. Today, he's a sevenfold intensified spirit, and he has entered into our spirit to have a union of mingling in life organically. From that day on, the work of God's organic salvation has begun in us. Such a work begins from regeneration, sanctification, then we're renewed, then we have been transformed, and then we will be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God. And at the end, we will enter into the glory of God. And we are a group of glorified people. From regeneration to glorification, we call that the process of organic salvation. It is also the process of man becoming God. So we have to pay much attention to God's organic salvation. So this is what God has shown us in the Bible. It's not that you have belief in the Lord Jesus, you have peace, and you have health, and one day, today, you become a moral person, a good person. Then one day, you die and you go to heaven. All those above are somewhat a mutated, degraded Christianity has shown, has known, and has given to us in the past. But today, in the Lord's recovery, we stand 100 years of what the Lord has done. That is what he has recovered as far as the truth is concerned. We have come to the consummate, the highest peak of the divine revelation. And the Lord has truly blessed and had mercy upon his recovery. And through the ministry of this age, he has granted us in his word, that is a divine revelation, not just the outward, superficial, scratching the verses way, not the truth from the mind of man, the traditional Christianity, but we truly have seen a heavenly vision, a vision that is from the Lord. That is to grant us the highest and deepest things related to God's eternal economy. And what we have seen and heard from eternity, to know what is the eternal desire and heart's desire of God, eternity, not only in time, in the past several thousands of years of history, but from eternity to eternity, we are here to see what is God's desire and what is God's longing. Don't think God is an old man sitting on top of a cloud. No, God is not such an outward God. It's what men have imagined, but this eternal God, he is a true and living God. And he created man according to his image and after his likeness. And he is a God of wisdom. He has this good pleasure for what he has desired. And he has an eternal economy, and he wants to accomplish his heart's desire. Therefore, he wants his son Christ to be all in all things, and he wants to head up all things in Christ. And he wants to gain an eternal, complete expression. And that expression is the man he created. So man is different from all other creatures and all God's creation. It's not that man is somewhat smarter, he is somewhat more intelligent than all other creatures? No. But God has created an organ within man that is the spirit of man. And that spirit causes man to have a contact with God and to receive God into man. Thereby to receive this God to be his life and everything. The entire process of God and man is that of an organic union. In God's economy, in order to gain such an expression, that is, in order for him to be expressed through man, he will gain a perfect, glorious expression in eternity. Therefore, in his predestination, in his selection, in his redemption, this group of people that he chosen, redeemed, had so work. Right? Therefore, he worked on them, and that work we call the organic salvation. And what is the purpose of this organic salvation? Not just to let us have life, to have a growth in life, and somewhat to have a richer or better life. The so-called the inner life group of people, they want us to be spiritual. They want us to be more victorious, to overcome many things. Yes, all the above are included. But in order for us to come to a real and genuine understanding of what God wants, what he wants to gain, and what will cause his heart to be fully satisfied, it's just like give you an example. If you want to read a book, you must come to its conclusion, the grand finale, right? So the Bible is the book, right? The Bible is the book, right? It's the book of all books. You can say that all the other books are worthless. Only this one book, that is the Word of God, that communicates and conveys to us the divine revelation of God. So you have to come to the end of the Bible. In the New Testament, the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation. And Revelation is a great symbol, a sign. So therefore you have to study all the signs in Revelation to know its revelation. The greatest sign is the holy city, New Jerusalem. In the common understanding understanding without revelation in Christianity, they say that the New Jerusalem is a physical city. They use the so-called heavenly mansion or heavenly paradise to describe it. You say, for thousands of years, it says that the holy city has not been built. Oh, what a luxurious, a beautiful, grander heavenly mansion is where God prepared for us. You say, yes, there's a concept in the Bible that God has prepared a place for us. But if you merely interpret the holy city in a physical realm or the physical aspect, then you are wrong. Because the holy city is a spiritual sign in the church history. The greatest symbol, the highest symbol was given. It's based upon Genesis 1. God created the heavens and the earth. Then God's enemy, Satan, came in to corrupt God's creation. He took the lead to rebel against God and sinned. And he was judged. Therefore, due to Satan's rebellion, God's creation were corrupted. Especially the earth, right, was corrupted by Satan. God came in to recreate, to recover his creation. In his recreation, not only he created the creatures on this earth, but particularly he created man to accomplish his desire. He created man. He put man in a garden called Eden. And in the garden Eden, there was a tree. That tree was called the tree of life. There are several rivers that flows forth from the garden. You can see in creation, Adam and Eve were replaced in this garden. And we come to the end of the Bible, we can see this glorious sign or symbol. You can say, here in the holy city, there is also the tree of life and the river of water of life. And in Revelation, it is not only a garden. You can say it is a paradise, but in its symbol, we can see at the end, it is a built-up city. We call that the holy city, the New Jerusalem. It's the dwelling place of God and man. It's what God has built or tabernacled in man. And this city, at the end of the two chapters of the Bible, has been revealed. But in the past church history of almost 2,000 years, almost none, or very few, have seen this symbol. And it is here a little bit. And when we come to Watchman Nee, you cannot hear that clearly. But the usual concept of the New Jerusalem is somewhat physical. So until our dear brother Lee, and in his reading of the Bible, and he studied in detail of the New Jerusalem, and we can all say that the heavens open up to us. It is through our dear brothers deep diving into the Bible, and he touched God's eternal intention, his heart's desire, and in his studying the Bible for many years, he has revealed and seen all the divine revelation from the angle or the perspective of God's economy. Then he said, the New Jerusalem is what God wants to have. It is not something physical, but rather it is a sign speaking forth of a reality. And that reality is concerning God and man. That is this process and consummated triune God have a relationship with his created, redeemed, and regenerated elect. In time, he regenerated this group of people. He transformed this group of people and eventually glorified these group of men to become the God-men, God species. And they are the corporate God-men. What the entire process God has given us is a process of God's union, mingling, and incorporation of God and man. It is a mutual dwelling place. It is an issue of such a mingling, union, and incorporation. The ultimate issue is that holy city. Therefore, this holy city is not a physical structure. It is something organic, spiritual, and divine. All of our goal is not to go to heaven, to go to a heavenly mansion, to have physical golden street with the pearl gates, a lot of eating and drinking, feasting there, and there's a beautiful mansion there. No. No. Point by point, you had to study these signs. Then you will see the spiritual reality. Once you have seen the spiritual reality, brothers and sisters, forever, you cannot say, I don't know, I'm not clear. Because you have seen it. This is the ultimate consummation. You can say this is the meaning of the universe. This is the mystery of God and man. You can say this is what man could not comprehend in this universe, but now revealed to us. Our dear brother spent all of his time, he spoke again and again, on until he reached the New Jerusalem. From 96 to 97, he gave the book, the application of the interpretation of the New Jerusalem. And he said, this is my burden. He had two burdens to release. Number one is God becoming man, that man may become God. And the second burden is the New Jerusalem. That is the issue of that mingling. He has released these two great truths to us. We thank the Lord for giving him such a burden and the time before his departure. He could give us the high peak of the divine revelation. to the Lord's recovery. All of these are like what the hymn talked about. What miracle, what mystery. Untraceable economy. The highest gold and his heart's desire and pleasure. I do not have the time today. After we have seen this, what response do we have, brothers and sisters? In these days, I have a particular feeling that is in the Lord's entire recovery among the churches. That is, I wish every saint, every brother and sister will receive his utmost mercy and great grace to receive a new revival, to have a new beginning. We should rise up. Rise up to do what? To pursue the New Jerusalem. We can see that in we can read it in the books, we can all enter into it. But we have a deeper understanding at the beginning of this training. We said, number one, you need to be thirst. Thirst, thirst. You need to have such a thirst and longing. Number two, we need to have a seeking. Seeking, a searching. And number three, we need to have gaining, pursue. Like Paul, pursue and persecuting. I don't know about you. I have nothing else to do. There's nothing more important than this. Yes, we need to live a human life. We need to study. We need to work. We need to raise up a family. We need to live a normal human life. Actually, we need to live a Godman life. But what fills me from day to night is this matter. That is God's desire. If God's heart's desire could not be fulfilled, I would not have satisfaction. I would not have perfect peace. The Lord is still working today. To do what? That is, he wants us, this group of God men, in our church life, individual life, to live him out, to work him out. You can say, this is the most important burden, the ultimate commission of the Lord's recovery today. That is to live out the reality of the New Jerusalem and to build up the New Jerusalem. I hope such a short word will clarify this burden again. I will like to plant this burden into all the saints in the Lord's recovery today, not to say all the recovery, just say among the Chinese-speaking saints in North America, particularly in the Far East, there are so many brothers and sisters. We are in the Lord's recovery. We love the Lord. I want to use this opportunity to speak to all the brothers and sisters. What is deep in my heart, a burden within me, I don't believe it is from me. It is from the throne of God. It is from the heart of God. Look at our dear brother Witness Lee. He has gone to be with the Lord for over 20-some more years. Not to say, Brother Watchman Nee, he went to be with the Lord much earlier. Today, we are standing as a testimony of the Lord's recovery. We must know what is the goal. Paul saw the goal. He forget all things else. He wants to lay hold. He wants to gain such a goal. His goal aligns with God's goal. He has one goal with God. Today, in our personal life, in the church life, we must have God's purpose as our goal. Every day, we need to forget the things behind. Every day, we need to be here, desiring, longing, seeking, and to pursue, to gain Christ, to live out in Jerusalem and to work out the new Jerusalem. Not one day we'll go up to heaven, but today we need to live out the reality of the new Jerusalem. May the new Jerusalem be manifested today in and among us. What we are, our living, should be the manifestation of the new Jerusalem today, in its essence, in its element, in its nature, even in life and nature, in our expression. There's nothing else but the new Jerusalem. We ourselves should work out our salvation, to experience the organic salvation, to become part of the new Jerusalem, that is, a God-man living. What we are building here is just the body of Christ. But the ultimate consummation is to live out and work out the new Jerusalem. Do not think that new Jerusalem is something in the future, in eternity, it's something later, it's something will happen as a prophecy later. No, the new Jerusalem is among us today. We should live out the new Jerusalem today. We need to work out the new Jerusalem today. Today, we need to build the city of the new Jerusalem. We are daily building up the new Jerusalem. Therefore, how strict we should be to ourselves, we must pay a price. Actually, we should endeavor to give all, Paul count all things as loss, as refuse to accomplish God's desire and God's purpose. I would just now read the 10 points, and I'll just read those 10 points. Yesterday, I wrote briefly of these 10 points. So, brothers, how about you put up the 10 points? Can you see? Can you see? Yes. Okay. I will read briefly. I'm not to use this as my message, but I will just read what I wrote. One, what the New Jerusalem is. This is my emphasis and burden. What the New Jerusalem is must be the reality and the constitution of the church life today. You ask me, what is the church life? Let me tell you, it's so simple. That is, we need to live out what the New Jerusalem is in its reality and constitution. There are 10 points here listed. 1. The Bible reveals that God's eternal heart's desire is to create an organic structure of the mutual dwelling place of God and man. The Bible tells us God is an architect. He has designed such a city for thousands of years. He wants to create and build such an organic structure that is the New Jerusalem. 2, God created man as God's kind, that man may have the divine life and nature to be married to him. To be married to him, because this city is not of stone, steel, any kind of concrete building, but the holy city is a person. And to state it more clearly, it is a couple. God and man married together. That this God, who passed through a process, married a man who went through a process. Therefore, it is the Lamb and the bride, the Spirit and the bride. That is the New Jerusalem. God is in it. Man is in it. It is a couple, a companion of each other for eternity. It is a story of love. It is a divine romance of the union and mingling of God and man. 3, what the New Jerusalem is must be the reality and the constitution of the church life today. What I have shared today, this is the most central burden, that this training is talking about the New Jerusalem. We need to apply what we know of as the interpretation of the New Jerusalem. To apply is for us to experience. Today, we must enter into the reality of the revelation and vision. Today, we must become an organic constitution or structure of this city. 4, the life and work of the believers should be based on the material and content of the New Jerusalem as an element. What is not gone through death? What is of natural being or natural man? Anything that is not of God, anything that is unholy, has no place in the New Jerusalem, has no part in it. Our living, our work must use the material and content of the New Jerusalem. If you want to see what is the material and content, read the 5 messages. And there are many books among us talking about the New Jerusalem. To simply put, what is the material and content? Is this the process and concept of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit? In these messages, when we mention about the base of this holy city, the furnishing, the supply. This morning I'm supposed to talk about the supply of the city. All of these are just the triune God himself. We cannot build with wood, hay, and stubble of the city because those will be burned away. Those are unqualified, not up to standard. We must use gold, silver, and precious stones, the base, by the foundations of gold, we must use the redemption of Christ, that is the silver or the pearl gates. You can see, this is what you have seen from the sign of the city. The entire city is actually of precious stones. In other words, this city has nothing else. All of its element, material, content is the triune God himself. It's not only the triune God himself, but it is also the triune God blend, mingle, worked into us. And this new Jerusalem, it's such a mingling of God and man in its consummation and aggregation. So in the past centuries, one generation to another generation, from the Old Testament age to the New Testament age, beginning from the age before the law to the age of the law and the New Testament, we have this age of grace until the age of the kingdom. All these ages or dispensations is according to God's economy to work out a work among his elect or in his elect. And that all those work will eventually consummate in the New Jerusalem, be it the Old Testament Jewish people or the New Testament believers throughout the 1,000 years. He is working such work. Today he's still working day by day. We must reconsecrate ourselves to the Lord and to hand ourselves over to the Lord. I would say not just to love the Lord a little more, to pursue a little more, to be spiritual a little more, to be victorious a little more. No, much more. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, constitute me more, to grow more, to mingle with me more, more mingling, more blending. As a result, today, in this age, the new Jerusalem will begin to appear. Number five, the saints should use the foundation, furnishing, and supply of the holy city. Those are the five messages. You should buy this book. In these days, pursue this gradually, slowly. Of course, there are many other publications and books. I hope we have such a culture, such an atmosphere, such a desire among the brothers and sisters, that it's among the churches. We just want to pursue this thing. All the truths are included in the New Jerusalem. From something basic to something deep, profound, could all be found in the truth of the New Jerusalem. Number six, we build the holy city in this age by enjoying the process and consummated triune God. The emphasis is on the experience, the enjoying, experiencing daily, every day, this process and consummated triune God. Every day we should contact him. We call on the name of the Lord. We read the Bible. Paul said, for me to know him, this Christ. This is what we in this age can experience at this triune God. It's what we can do today to build up the holy city, New Jerusalem. Number seven, we accomplish the work of God's plan by the two spirits, experiencing the union, mingling, and cooperation of God and man. You need to build this up. It's not something physical. It is something organic and spiritual. It is in the divine and mystical realm. Today we are in this glorious process. Daily, we are in union with Him. We're mingling with Him. Daily, we're incorporated with Him. And this is a process of spiritual growth and the growth in life. And this is a process of our maturity in life. There's the most important means, that is the two spirit, the mingled spirit. Every day we should live in spirit. Every day we should live in and move, work, have our life in this mingled spirit. Every day we need to set our mind on the spirit. Every day we are the children of God. Every day we should work. Let this spirit work within us. And dear brothers and sisters, this is our daily life. This is what we need to experience every day. Number 8, the judicial redemption and organic salvation from regeneration through transformation unto glorification all take the holy city as the goal. Don't be wrong, okay, in your goal. The goal is not going to heaven. The goal is the manifestation of the holy city. Number 9, the Lamb God on the throne reigning, flowing out the river, growing the tree as the light of the temple to maintain the rich expression of God. Look at the New Jerusalem. It is a living. You can say the New Jerusalem is a living. It is an experience. It is a reality. In this reality, the triune God, the Lamb God, He's the one sitting on the throne. From such a throne flows a river of water of life. And on the two sides grows the tree of life. There's no darkness. There's no natural lights because God is the light of the city. The Lamb is also the temple, right? And all the lights of the temple and the temple itself are God Himself. Today, God is dispensing Himself. Today, the church life must be the miniature, a model of the New Jerusalem. Today, daily, we're drinking of the living water, we're eating the tree of life, and daily, we're living under the light, the divine light. And every day, we live in the temple, worshiping, serving our God. Our church life should be in the New Jerusalem. To be a full expression of God in this earth, even in the universe. Number 10, the New Jerusalem's final manifestation is the ultimate explanation of the mysteries of the heaven, earth, God, and man in the universe. Today, men are confused. They don't know what is going on. Even the telescope, right? They send the telescope up into the galaxy. The more and more they see, they only saw a minute part of the universe. And not only that, where did man come from? It's only one Earth. Is there UFO? Is there other organism or other ET, extraterrestrial, you know, other beings in the universe? No, but what is the meaning of man in the universe? What is the meaning of heavens and earth? Man by themselves could not understand it. Eventually, one day, man will see, oh, it is such. But today, we have seen such a revelation. May the Lord have mercy upon us. I have a call. I have a burden. The Lord's recovery must attain to such an extent, such a level. We must have a new revival. That is, we need to live a God-man living. Not only we need to attain the highest peak of the divine revelation, not only we need to have a universal, all-inclusive care or shepherding as our practice of our service. Today, we must live in the reality of the New Jerusalem. This great, eternal lampstand should be manifested in each local church. It should be shining. It should be there testifying as a testimony of the triune God. I hope that all these points will be a help to us. Do you have a conclusion note? Yes, it's here. Yes, it's here. Yes, yeah, it's here. Yes. It says the last message. It's a message 5 in the supply of series 1. And before that, our brother spoke such a word in the beginning. He said that, how about this? I'll just read a concluding note. I do expect that after the study, a study with a seeking heart and with an enlarged spirit of these 5 chapters, the crystallization study of the final part of the Holy Scriptures, we all have seen clearly and evidently that the New Jerusalem is an organic constitution of the process and consummated triune God with his regenerated, transformed, and glorified elect. It has threefold stress with the divine trinity in the 3 main aspects of this organic constitution. 1. The first main aspect in its structure with its base, signified by the gold as the Father's nature, its gates, signified by the pearl as the issue of the Son's redeeming death and life-dispensing resurrection, and its wall, signified by the precious stones as the consummation of the Spirit's transforming work. This is so rich, so profound, so much, so high. We must break through the ice and deep dive into these words, to spend time to enter all these words, enter into these revelations. 2, the second main aspect in its furnishings, with the reigning center of the Father, signified by the throne, the abiding place of the Son, signified by the temple, and the enlightening and shining light of the Spirit, signified by the oil in the lamp. 3, the third aspect is in its supply, being the flow of the divine trinity. Its base and source for the flow is the Father, signified by the street. Its flow is the Spirit, signified by the river of the water of life. And the element of its flow is the Son, signified by the tree of life. You can see the entire constitution of the New Jerusalem is the process and consummated triune God. Built with his regenerated, transformed, and glorified elect in his divine trinity in a threefold way. It is impossible for such constitution to be anything physical. It has to be the divine Trinity in his threefold blending with his redeemed elect. May we receive the eternal mercy and the sufficient grace of the unlimited Christ so that we could live a life. The emphasis is we could live a life. In the Lord's recovery, each one should live such a life, the life of the New Jerusalem. And as a foretaste of such an organic constitution in the age for its full taste in eternity. And Brother Lee encouraged us in the beginning of this message that from now on, we should, the co-workers and elders, we should need to know how to speak such things. And with a little bit of time, in 10 minutes, because of yesterday, our dear brother before us, one of the leading co-workers, Brother Liu Sui, in the age of 98, passed away in Hualien, Taiwan. He was taken away by the Lord. I feel this is with a great significance because our brother represents that age of a group of co-workers. He worked beside Brother Lee in the Taiwan Gospel Book Room, not only among the churches in the Far East, particularly for over a decade in the Bay Area. He faithful till the end. He has truly upheld, kept his faith. He has truly finished his course. He has truly fought a good fight. And today, I will use this burden to remember our dear brother, Liu Sui. In 1996, our brother Witness Lee was speaking to the co-workers and elders concerning how to be elders and fulfill the obligation of the co-workers and elders. And the last message, in message 6, and he wrote such a word. And these words is spoken to elders and co-workers. I will just read these words to you. How to be God's co-workers, how to fulfill the obligation of the co-workers and elders, and to be a co-work with the Lord. So working with God to carry out his divine building in three aspects for the accomplishment of God's eternal economy. This is what a worker should do. If we say we co-work with the Lord, we must do the work of God. We should not do our own work. It's not you just put a name tag or you have a title. You are so-and-so, your co-worker, that's worthless. It doesn't mean much, but are you really God's co-worker? Are you truly working his work? What are you building? Is a part of the divine building? It's your service actually accomplishing God's eternal economy. The three aspects that is so good. A, establishing and shepherding the churches by the pneumatic Christ, the Christ who is the life-giving spirit with his organic salvation. The work of the co-workers is to do such, that is to establish and shepherd in the churches by the pneumatic Christ. Is it by this pneumatic Christ of your shepherding, or are you shepherding according to your natural man, your opinions, your ability or capabilities? Are you shepherding by the pneumatic Christ? Are you helping the saints to experience the organic salvation? Our service must reach out to such a standard. B. Building and constituting the body of Christ by Christ as a sevenfold intensified spirit with his sevenfold intensified organic salvation. We should ask ourselves, especially the so-called co-workers, are we doing such a work? By the sevenfold intensified spirit with his sevenfold intensified organic salvation, are we here in this age? Building and constituting the body of Christ, are we doing such a work? We must evaluate. C. Adorning and consummating the New Jerusalem with God the Father as its golden base, God the Son as its pearl gates, and God the Spirit for its wall of precious stones, by drinking the Spirit, the flowing triune God, as a river of water of life, and eating Christ, the overcoming lying lamb, as a tree of life, with his rich and fresh supply. I will ask co-worker brothers, is this your work? Is this your work? You yourself are in it, and you're drinking the Spirit. You help the saint to drink the Spirit. Daily you're eating this Christ as a tree of life. You're bringing the brother and sister to eat the tree of life. Are you experiencing the heavenly supply and to leading the saints to enter into the enjoyment of the supply? Are you helping the saints along with yourself to enjoy the Father's nature as the gold? Are we experiencing Christ the Son as the pearl gate of his redemption, his own inclusive death, and the life-releasing resurrection? Oh, are we living in it? Paul was, to know him and the power of his resurrection, to conform to his death. That was Paul. Paul was doing the work of the pearl gates, and also he was doing the work of God the Spirit of its walls of precious stones. Today it is by the transform, renew, conform, glorify beings as the material. We are such a transformed person, or are we still that old untransformed natural man? So today we're here to adorning and building the New Jerusalem. Paul said, I am the head workman, right? But we have the master builder, who's God, who's Christ, who is the designer and builder himself. You can see, although Paul did not use a word, actually he is here actually practically build up the New Jerusalem 2,000 years ago to accomplish God's heart's desire. And today, we should do the same work. Our dear brother Liu Sui, I can truly testify, genuine from the depth of my heart, he is such a worker. He worked the work of the New Jerusalem. He's truly co-worked with God, and such a co-worker. Absolutely. And everything, he was for God, for God's purpose. He was fully for God's heart's desire. Such a worker will never create problem, will never cause any division of the body of Christ. It is impossible. Such a co-worker must have been one with the ministry of this age and closely followed the ministry of this age. Our brother is such a person who loved the Lord. He sacrificed all things for this. Such a co-worker, as a co-worker of God, the result, the issue of his work must be a part of the New Jerusalem that could stand testing trials and be approved by God. I will just speak some words within me, my heart. I am saddened. On the other hand, I thank the Lord. There is such a model among us. There's such a pattern and model before us and among us. May we who remain, the rest of us, will follow this pattern to do the same work. That is the unique work in the universe that God wants to do. Even the Old Testament, Abraham, the father of faith, in faith, even he went into the promised land, Canaan, he still stayed in a tent, built the altar and the tent to live a life of a sojourner, because he was hoping for that city with a foundation that is the New Jerusalem. They have received God's promise, and that promise has not been fully fulfilled because we have not been perfected. Even who ran before us, the past patriarchs of faith, they have not attained. And the last words I will speak is from the book of Hebrews. Today we're awaiting, like Abraham, of a city with a foundation. The city which has a foundation, whose architect and builder is God. We are all sojourners on this earth. We're just foreigners in this land. We are here seeking for our own country, a better place. Our brother has gone on from the earthly realm to the heavenly realm. Today we're here still on earth, awaiting for the Lord's appearing and the city. That city. Hebrews. Which has a foundation. It says that we do not have a city, but we're seeking for the coming city. We're seeking for that city that is coming. That is every day we are here building this city, the city of the living God and the heavenly Jerusalem, to work out and live out this city of the living God, the heavenly New Jerusalem. So that will be the ultimate consummation of God and man, the mingling of God and man, where both God and man are satisfied. May the Lord's recovery bring in such a new revival. You cannot say that the way is not clear before us. You cannot say the goal is not clear before us. All have been laid out, laid down clearly before us. May the Lord have mercy upon all the co-workers, all the elders, all the believers, and all the churches, all the saints, even his entire recovery, for the sake of his own name, for the sake of his own glory. May the Lord bless us. Amen.